So let's grab our Bibles and jam on over to 2 Kings. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 21. We're continuing on in our study through the book of 2 Kings, which we're almost done with now. We're getting about ready to start another book. But before we get started, let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to hear your word today. And we just ask that, Jesus, that you're glorified and that you open up our eyes and that you lead us to the truth, Lord, and give us right thinking and right understanding about this crazy world that we're living in. We love you and we just thank you, Lord. Be glorified in this. Change our lives, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Midterms are over. How many of you guys are stoked about that? Yeah. Did your candidate win? No? Yeah? You know, I was kind of thinking about how I saw this picture of a wing nut. And you know a wing nut? Did you see it? And they've got like the two handles on the nut. There's a left side and a right side, but it's still the same nut. And I'm kind of thinking like, that's our political situation. It's just a bunch of nuts. But you know what? God's still in control. And whether we like it or not, we got to remember something about our elected officials. You know who really puts them into place? Guess. It's not us. I mean, we vote, but you know who puts them into place? God does. And that's why we want to pray for them and uphold them in our prayers, you know, regardless of who won. Because the way I see it is we're kind of like all on the same, you know, plane or train. And if it goes down, man, we're going down with it. So we want to make sure that we're upholding our officials and just praying that they do a good job. And also, too, we got back from Disneyland. That was awesome. That was so cool. Appreciated all your guys' prayers through that. One of the things that was funny to me that stuck out is the kids, the babies. I told Randall and Punk, I said, man, they wanted to be at Disneyland right when it opens up. And I said, you know, we're not leaving until this place closes. These kids ain't going to be able to handle it. Why don't we just go at like noon and then stay all night so they're not tired and walking around? He's like, no, we're going to go. So they get up first thing in the morning and they get to Disneyland right when it opens up. And the kids lasted all night long. They really did a good job. It was crazy. But Ruth, she said she had to go to the bathroom. It was like towards the, you know, it was like 4 p.m. And Vicky's like, okay, I'll take you to the bathroom. And so they go into the stall and, you know, Vicky tells Ruth, okay, you go ahead and go to the bathroom. And, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and turn around. And, you know, when you're done, let me know you're done, you know, and we'll get out of here. And so Vicky turns her back and, you know, she's checking Facebook and stuff. And a few minutes goes by, 5 minutes goes by. You know, and Vicky's all over Instagram now. She's been over everywhere. She's probably buying stuff on Amazon. And then she's like, oh, yeah, I got grandbaby behind me. And she's like, Ruth, are you done? Ruth, are you done? And she turns around and Ruth is passed out on the commode. She is so stinking tired. And Vicky's like, baby, are you okay? Wake up, wake up. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, grandma. I'm so sorry. And so it was just so funny how, you know, Vicky's sitting there so patiently waiting for Ruth and she's just passed out on the commode. But other than that, they did really good. Here's a hard turn into scripture. You know who else is patient? God. God is patient. And what we're going to see in 2 Kings as we're wrapping this book up is just the patience of God. And we're going to see it like none other in this king of Manasseh. And so last time when Guy was teaching, I heard he did a great job. He was teaching to you guys, he was teaching about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, the king of Judah, had become sick. And when he was sick, he prayed to God that God would heal his life and that he would extend years to him. And so what did God do? He answered the prayer of Hezekiah. He gets better. And then the kings of Babylon want to send Hezekiah a get well card. Like, hey man, we heard you were sick. And they send this envoy up to Hezekiah. And while they are up there and they're saying, hey, you know, the king of Babylon is like, how you doing? He wants to know and all of this stuff. It's not because they're actually concerned for Hezekiah. But they want to make a political play on Judah and find out the strength of Judah and see what's going on. But they put it under this situation of, oh man, we just heard you got sick and we wanted to say we're glad that you got better. And what did Hezekiah do? Do you guys remember when the envoy of the Babylonians went up to go see Hezekiah, to see him, what does Hezekiah show them? Every single thing he had. And so he gets better, and then he's like, hey, you know, let me show you around. I just kind of want to flex a little bit and show you what I got in my portfolio. So he shows him the gold, he shows him the silver, he shows him the 10,000 stocks of Tesla. He's got all this stuff, and he shows all these Babylonians these things. And now what's going to happen is, because he showed them all of those things, it says in verse 13 of chapter 20, I'll just read it to you real quick. It says, there was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. So basically, he showed them everything. And when Babylon saw that, they're like, oh, this is interesting. It's like blood in the water with a shark. And they see all this stuff, and he's like, you know, by the way, did I tell you I'm really rich? And here's the stuff in the safe that's, you know, and the lock is broke on that safe, but check out that gold. And what he should have done is he should have just kept his mouth shut about what he had. Because, like James said, do you remember what James said in chapter 1, verse 9, when he said, every man should be slow to speak and quick to listen? And this man is like overloading his mouth. I mean, it's just like, have you ever done that where you just like start and you're like, man, and you leave and you're like, I wish I wouldn't have said all of that stuff. And, you know, you just kept talking and talking and talking. And the more you talk, the worse it got. Well, that was Hezekiah. And he shows all these people all this stuff. And now they're going to come up against Hezekiah and they're going to take it. And what Isaiah the prophet said to Hezekiah when he found out, he's like, what did you tell them? What did you show them? And Hezekiah's like, man, I showed them everything. I told them everything I got. And we've got to be careful, you guys, you know, when we're talking about all kinds of things, not just our possessions. You know, we can flex it on Instagram, what we have or what we're doing or where we're going or whatever. But, you know, there needs to be a sense of privacy about us, you guys. You know what I mean? We don't got to tell everybody everything about what's going on in our lives. What's that old saying? You know, the higher you go, the farther you fall. Well, Hezekiah has got this situation where now the 15 years are over and he's going to die. And in that time, he's going to have this son, Manasseh, in this 15-year period of time. So now for the remainder of the time, we're not going to be looking at Israel and the northern kingdom. It's all going to be focused on Judah because Israel's been taken into captivity. And now soon, the book, unfortunately, is going to close with now Judah getting taken into captivity, just like Israel. But it's all going to happen, and starting here with this king, Manasseh, it says in verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. Don't you love those names? Hephzibah. Just say it super fast, and it's like people think you know what you're talking about. His mom's name's Hephzibah. And what's interesting about it is that it says he was 12 years old when he began to reign. That means, do you remember when Hezekiah, when he prayed to be healed and God said, I'm going to give you 15 years. Well, 15 years. So like 2 years into that or 3 years into that, he has this son, Manasseh. Manasseh really should have never have been born, because the way it was going to work is God was calling Hezekiah home. That was the plan for Hezekiah. God's like, you know what? I want you home. I want you home. I want you with me. And part of the way that was going to happen was Hezekiah was sick and there was just no healing. But instead of Hezekiah going with the flow, he's like crying to God, I want you to heal me. Would you please heal me? Touch my body. And there's nothing wrong with that for sure. But there is a problem when God has a plan and a will for our life and we go in the opposite direction of it. Because what happened here with Hezekiah is he ends up having Manasseh, and Manasseh is going to end up being one of the most evilest men in all of Scripture. And so one of the things we want to do just really quick is we want to go with the flow with the Lord. Whatever's going on, we want to go with the flow of the Lord. Roll with the flow. We don't like the flow, though. And here's why. Because sometimes the flow means you're going to be single for a while. Sometimes the flow means you might be broke a little longer. Sometimes the flow means we might be sick a little bit longer. Sometimes the flow means we might be living in a place that we want to move from. There's a flow that God has. And one of the things that I've learned is that a lot of the time we're trying to go outside of the flow because we don't like the flow, but we got to go with the flow with the Lord. He's got a plan. And the best thing that we can do is when we're in the middle of that season where we're wanting to keep going outside of this plan is to just submit to the Lord and say, listen, I love you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I know you know what's best. I know this season is temporary. This isn't going to last forever. And we continue to go with the flow with the Lord. But Hezekiah calls out to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, if that's what you want, I'm going to give it to you. And so he extends to him 15 years, and Manasseh is born. And it said that he was 12 years old and he reigned 55 years. Just a side note, Manasseh reigned longer than any other king in all of Judah, and he was also the most wickedest king out of them all. Now, I know that we've been saying, oh, man, this king was the most wicked of all, and this king was the most wicked of all. But when we get to Manasseh, he was wickeder than any of the kings ever, not only in Judah, but in all the nations combined. So a lot of the times when we're reading Scripture and it says, oh, he was more wicked than the king of Israel before him, the Bible says of Manasseh, he's not wickeder of the kings before him. He's wickeder than all of them and all the people around him. And the guy lived the longest. How much, I mean, you know, one of the things too about that is sometimes we can look at people and they've got a long life, a successful career, and we say, man, God has really blessed these people. But you know what? Sometimes that's not a blessing. And it's definitely not always from the Lord. I remember I used to golf with an attorney, an older attorney. And you know, you learn a lot about people out on the golf course. You just do. It's ladies, it's nasty out there. Okay? Men are filthy. And unfortunately, you know, you're out there golfing with these guys. And I ended up getting hooked up with an attorney out there, a retired one. And golfed with them for a lot of years and taught me a lot, especially how to lose a lot of money. Because the guy always beat me. He was a scammer. In fact, they barred him. This old guy, they barred him off the course on the weekends because he had hustled the tourists. And I hadn't seen him for a long time. But he was wealthy. He was old. You know, he still seemed to have his health. And a period of like 4 years went by and I hadn't seen him. And I went to the mall in Lincoln City. And I was walking up the steps and I saw him and he was walking down. He didn't recognize me. And he looked at me. And he said, it was so weird. He was all shriveled up and weak and eyes sunk in his head. And he said, don't ever get old. And have you ever seen the poltergeist? It was him. That's what he looked like. I mean, God rest his soul. Well, God ain't resting this boy's soul unless he gave his life to the Lord. I'll tell you that right now. I know for a fact this guy was not saved. But he looked at me and it was just so creepy. Don't ever get old. So I wake up with that every day. And that was like 10 years ago. That's what I wake up to. But I was thinking, you know, it's not always, you know, I was thinking about his life and I'm like, this guy wasn't blessed by God. It wasn't the blessings of the Lord. It was the mercy of God that kept this guy going this long. Have you ever looked at people and you're like, man, I would eliminate you right now. I just don't like you. You don't like my posts on Facebook. You don't share my stuff. I would kill you. And we wonder why God lets some people go on and on and on, and not only go on and on and on, but bless them. And here's why. In 2 Peter, Peter said the reason why is because God doesn't will that any should perish, but that all would repent and come to that truth. So when we're talking about the patience of God, you guys, this is what we're going to see in Manasseh. God was so patient with this guy for 55 years of his reign. He ends up reigning at 12 years old. Can you imagine the people like, who's the next king? So we're like, who's the next governor? Who's the next senator? And they're like, who's the next king? And they're like, oh, you know, it's Manasseh, the eighth grader from Judah Elementary. And they're like, oh, great. And not only that, have you seen the movie The Omen? You remember that kid? That's Manasseh. I mean, basically, this guy's like Satan in the flesh. And so Manasseh is born because Hezekiah decided not to go with the flow. And we want to make sure that we're doing that. And it says in verse 3, what did he do? For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he raised up the altars to Baal, and he made wooden images as Ahab, king of Israel, had done, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and he served them, and he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, I will put my name, and I'll build... I will put my name. And he also built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he also made his sons pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. And like, you guys are like, man, I thought I was bad. This guy is a super bad train wreck, okay? And it says that one of the things that he did is he sinned by doing what all the other nations around them were doing. And Israel had a problem with that, by the way. Judah is now got a problem with, they always wanted to be like everybody else around them. And what's sad is Christians today kind of want to blend in too. They do. Our churches are designed that way. Messages are designed that way. We're kind of designed that way. And one of the things that God said is, I don't want you doing what these people are doing. And they're going crazy and they're going after all this stuff. And so Israel wanted a king. And God was like, I'm your king. And they're like, I know, but we want somebody different. So God gives them a king. And then they're like, well, we want to worship other gods. Everybody else is worshiping other gods. And so God allows them to worship other gods. And when we ask the question, what do we learn about God in all of that? And us, it's that God never intended us to blend in, but to stick out. God's never, and his idea for us was never that Christians look so much like the world doesn't know that we're Christian. And that is offensive, isn't it? It's got to be, unfortunately. Not by hate, but it's just the way it is. We're different people. We think differently. We act differently. God said, you're a city set on a hill, a light to shine before men. You're going to be different. You know, you're not going to be laughing at those dirty jokes at work. You're not going to be going to the bars and getting plastered. You're not going to be going to shows, you know, and like comedy shows. I was talking to Jesse about how years ago, Cat Williams, you guys know Cat Williams, that boy is just as foul as you can get. But man, he was so, that guy would kill me. I swear, I'm not even joking. When I watched Cat Williams, I had to make Vicky turn it off because I thought I was going to have a heart attack and die because I couldn't breathe. But it was the foulest garbage in the world. And I kid you not, I made her turn it off. I'm like, I'm going to die. I got to stop. But it was the foulest garbage in the world. And after I got saved and started reading the word and God was changing my mind and my thoughts, I was thinking, you know what? I don't want to be posting on Facebook that I'm at a Cat Williams show. I don't want to be posting that I'm going to these different events and celebrating that I'm going to go and watch Pink or Nicki Minaj. I mean, I don't want to post this garbage. I don't want to go to this garbage. I don't want to do this. And yet we've got Christians, and what's happening is they want to stay in rooted in the culture. And God's saying, listen, I don't want you to blend in. I want you to stick out. And so what Manasseh's been doing is he's trying to blend in. And by the way, he's going after everything. He's going after everything. It says that he's going after the hosts of heaven. He's worshiping the stars, astrology. He's building altars to these other gods, and he's serving them. and he's building these things up into the house of the Lord. And all of these things that Manasseh is doing, it says that he used witchcraft and soothsaying. The word for witchcraft there is actually pharmakia. Sounds familiar, huh? You know, people, Christians, they don't practice witchcraft by cutting chickens' heads off in their living room with the pentagram on the floor, chanting some kind of weird humbaga stuff. We would never think about doing witchcraft. But the problem of it is when we're self-medicating, and the Bible says this, you're opening yourself up for demonic activity, witchcraft. And whether it's pills, whether it's booze, whatever it is, it opens us up to this garbage, to where Manasseh can't get relief from anything. He's trying. This guy's worshiping everything. You know, it's like those guys, they're wearing a necklace and they've got like the Star of David and like the Eye of Ra, and they've got like Winnie the Pooh and all this stuff on their necklace, and they're just worshiping whatever comes up. Because whatever has been coming up isn't filling them up. It's not working. This guy's dead inside. And my heart breaks for him because I've been there and I know what it's like to run to all these different 12 things this guy's running to. And every single one of them is letting this guy down. And so it says that it progresses. It goes from witchcraft, and he made, it says that he also built these wooden images. And we've been studying 2 Kings, and we know what these images are. They're pornography. They were the Asherah poles. And basically, they didn't have a printing press. They didn't have an internet. They didn't have Instagram pictures or whatever's out there. So they would craft these images on poles and put them out there. And it started out men with women. Then it progressed to women with women. And then it progressed to men with men. And so this homosexuality was spreading all throughout the nation, and it was so immoral, it was so filthy. And I'm going to tell you guys something. If you're a historian, if like you guys are into history, then what I'm going to tell you is true. Anytime, every time, without exception, that a nation not only celebrated its diversity, but practiced it and promoted it, it was the end of that civilization. Fact check it. That's the one thing out of all the things that as soon as they started doing that, whether it was Judah, Greece, or Rome, or anybody else, when they started practicing and promoting homosexuality, that was the end of that nation. And you know what? Today, unfortunately, I'm into drama, my own self. So, like, I was listening to Candace, I can't remember her last name, Owens. And Candace Owens was talking about Madonna in her Instagram. And of course, I'm like, oh man, I haven't heard from Madonna in a minute. She's like 70. I go on her Instagram, and this chick is straight up porn with other women. It's like the gnarliest thing in the world. And we're promoting that. Nicki Minaj having sex on stage. All of this garbage in our face, and we celebrate it. And if God laid to waste every single powerful nation, and you know what's sick? And this is a thing, and I'll get off of this kick here in a second, but I was thinking about how this is what happened. The nations got so powerful, they got bored. And they had to invent ways to fulfill the next thing, and it got sicker and more perverted and more violent because they were so blessed. Rome was so powerful and so blessed, and they had to take it to this garbage. And how much longer do you think it's going to be for the United States of America? You know, and here's the thing. Billy Graham actually said, if God doesn't judge the U.S., the United States, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Do you know how foul we've become? Furries? We're sick, and we've been given over to a reprobate mind. Where women are going after women, and just to make it clear, you don't like dudes, but you're going to marry a chick that looks like one? You don't like women as a man, but you're going to marry some guy that's trying to be a woman? And when Paul talks about a reprobate mind, you guys, that's that. And if that makes you upset, if that bothers you, that's going to be your deal with the Lord. Because this is not a cultural issue. This is a sin issue. And I've always told you guys how to know the difference, because you know what, it is true. There are things in the scriptures that, you know, we don't do today. We don't, we shave our beards and we wear garments more than one fabric and all of that. But there's a difference between a cultural issue and a sin issue. And you know how you tell the difference? Because if God said it in the Old Testament and Jesus backed it up in the New, it's a sin issue. And this is one of a reprobate mind where we have literally lost it. You can't even describe what a woman is. Guy turned me on to somebody named Matt Walsh, and all he does is go to universities and he says, give me a definition of a woman. And they won't do it. Why? Because it destroys their argument. How stupid. You can't describe a woman? What's a woman? It's simple, right? Not anymore. So the only step for us now is to repent, get our heart right with the Lord, and get our face back to him. Because other than that, you guys, if you study history, and where they say history has a tendency to repeat itself, it's not long. And I see it all around our nation. So I pray for a revival. I pray for hearts to repent, turn back to God, and to get right. You know what? And sin is sin. I mean, whether it's homosexuality or you lying on your taxes, it doesn't matter. It's all the same, right? So here's the thing. Manasseh puts all these practices in, and then it says that he also, in verse 6, made his sons pass through the fire. Manasseh got so bad that there was this valley of Gehenna. And Jesus talked about that valley of Gehenna when he said that the worm would never die and the fire would never go out. He was using this valley where they would take their trash and they would dump it in this valley and they would set this place on fire and burn all their garbage. And you could see this perpetual fire forever while you were there. It was just like, oh man, Dolls is on fire again, you know, and all of Lincoln County got this black smoke of everybody burning tires and everything over the, and that's how it was. And they're like, oh man, they're burning, it never goes out. And what Manasseh did is he set up this image of Moloch, and it was a big brass image with this big fat belly, and in the belly it was carved out, and they would put wood in there. And they would stoke this brass statue up, and this statue was holding its arms out like this, and they would set their babies, when the thing got so hot, they would set their babies in the arms of Moloch and let their kids fry to death because they wanted to have a blessed life. And it was to the beating and the pounding of the drums of these prophets and worshipers of Moloch, and drowning out the sound of these kids screaming, these babies, because they believed that if they would sacrifice the kid, they'd have a better life. And you know, we're doing it too. It's just, instead of burning them with fire, we're doing it with saline solution in the womb. No different. I was watching a girl that she didn't want to have stretch marks. So she got an abortion. Watched an interview with Stevie Nicks of Fleetwood Mac, boasting about her abortion, saying, had I not aborted my child, you wouldn't have had Fleetwood Mac. that's no different today. And I'm not going to argue with you about the 1% cases. I'm talking about sacrificing children so you can live the way that you want. And when we look at all this and we look at our nation, we say, man, what's going on? Well, as you can imagine, what it says now in verse 8, God's not going to be happy with this. He says, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land of which I gave their fathers, only if they would be careful to do according to all that I've commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. And what do you think happened? Did they listen to God's word? No. Verse 9, it says, but they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them. Interesting. So God's like, okay, here's the solution. I'm going to give you my word. I want you to be in it. I want you to know it. I want you to live it. I want you to meditate on it. And in verse 9, it says what they did instead is they took God's word and they ignored it. And then Manasseh came up behind them and seduced them into sin. And by the way, that's what Satan does. He's a seducer. And if he would just show up with the horns and the pitchfork and smoker's cough, we would be like, okay, cool. You're the devil and I'm going to go like this way. But it says he shows up as an angel of light. And there's seduction there that the enemy does. And you know what? And it happens to us so easily. It can happen to any of us. Where there was those times where we looked forward to setting that alarm clock and getting up and praying early. There was those times where we got in the Word and we were so excited that the Lord showed you that. Do you remember that when you first started reading the Word of God and like the Lord would open your eyes and you're like, oh my God, this is beautiful. I can't believe you just showed me that. Vicky, come over here. And you're telling people and you're sharing it and you were stoked to get to church and you were stoked to discipline your flesh because it was leading you into more righteousness. Not that we become more righteous of our deeds because of what we do, but in our life, we can exercise righteousness and it felt good to discipline the flesh when you were all tempted. And you're like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give in to the temptation. I'm going to fight the flesh. And then on the other side of it, there was that balm, like that warm balm of the Lord's love, just saying, man, well done, good and faithful servant. But then, you know, the enemy comes in and slowly seduces God's children. And you're sleeping in, you're giving in to temptation, you don't want to hear the word. You don't want to pray. You don't want to spend time with the Lord. And it happens so subtly. Seduction. Or does it? Because sometimes also I wonder, the sad thing about seducing somebody is sometimes they want to be seduced. Sometimes there's people that are into being seduced. And the reason why is because if you can seduce them into sin, they can blame it on you once they've fallen into it. Am I bumming you guys out? That's a sad thing, is seduction. And you know what? That's why it's so important when it says, and they paid no attention to it. Man, you guys, I can't tell you enough how important spending time in God's word is and loving it and holding on to it and meditating on it. Because if you don't, this is what happens. There's seduction. And so Manasseh, it says that he seduced all these people, and they went after the same sins that he went after. And after all of that, it says, so in verse 10, it says that the Lord spoke by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, and he's acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and he's also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will bring such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears it, both his ears will tingle. and I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it, turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hands of their enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they've done evil in my sight, and they've provoked me to anger since the day of their fathers that they came out of Egypt to this day. And we're going to close here. And moreover, verse 16, Manasseh shed much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other, besides the sin of which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And so God says, I'm going to use the measuring line of Samaria on Judah. And we all know what happened in Samaria, right? Israel, the northern kingdom. We talked about that for weeks, you remember? And I was like, who's Samaria? And for weeks, you wouldn't tell me, even though I taught you guys for like months. And then I was like, man, am I getting through? And then like someone said, I think it was Brian, he's like, I'm like, who's Samaria? He's like, Israel, northern kingdom. I'm like, yeah, praise God. Like, so what did God do to Samaria? He wiped them out. And what's interesting about that is, see, Judah now was looking at Samaria and they wanted to be like Samaria. They're now they're imitating the deeds of Samaria. And so God's like, okay, check this out. You want to act like that, then you're going to get what they got. In other words, if we want to intimidate the sin, we're going to imitate the destiny. And that's how it rolls. Whether we like that or not, it is the way it is that if we're going to imitate the sin that we see, the only thing that we can do is imitate the destiny that they had. And so God says, listen, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to use that same judgment on you like I did them. And you know what's interesting about that is I find that sometimes I look at other people's life and I think, you know what, I could probably do that and get away with it. I don't think anything bad will happen. You know, they've wrecked their life with that garbage, but I ain't going to wreck mine with that. But we got to be careful about it. And so God says, listen, your ears are going to tingle. And so God's anger is burning against it. Now, here's the thing about it. And this is where we will close, our promise. Worship team, come on up. If we were to end this right here with Manasseh, I mean, you guys are like, I feel like I should be throwing Kleenexes out to you. Like, you're looking bummed out. And here's the thing. If we left the story here, it's pretty depressing, I gotta admit. I don't like preaching these messages or teaching them like this. But I'm going to show you something about Manasseh. It says in verse 17, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all he did and the sins he committed, are they not written in the book of 2 Chronicles of Judah? So just real quick, I'm going to turn over to 2 Chronicles and I'm going to show you something. And this is such a great story of what happens in life when we're looking at Manasseh, because this boy is a mess. He is bad. There's none worse. Ahab was bad. Ahab's not this bad. Nobody's this bad. Clintons aren't this bad. This guy is really bad. So it says this in verse 14. Just want to make sure here. Oh. So it says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 10, verse 12. Now when he was in affliction, this is Manasseh, it says, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they wouldn't listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks. They bound him with bronze fetters, and they carried him off to Babylon. Now, when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly. before the Lord God, his fathers, and he prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And after he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance of the fish gate, and it enclosed Ophel, he raised it to a very great height, and then he put military captains in the fortified cities of Judah. And then in verse 15, it says, Manasseh took away the foreign gods, the idols from the house of the Lord, and the altars that he had built on the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thankful offerings on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Man, that is epic. And the reason why is because if Manasseh can make it, anybody can make it. Anybody can make it. Manasseh turned his heart to the Lord and he was broken. He said, I need you and I'm asking for forgiveness. And not only did he ask for forgiveness, when he repented, he got rid of all the idols that he had set up. And you know what repentance is? It's not just coming to God and saying, I'm sorry. It's getting rid of the things that we're sorry for. That's what repentance is. It's not saying, I'm sorry, I'm getting drunk all the time. It's, I'm getting the booze out of the house. I'm putting the pills in the trash can. I'm getting rid of the weed. I'm turning that movie off. I'm not watching the garbage. I'm not going to listen to this. And it's an active move to where we say, listen, from this moment on, I'm yours, Lord. And whatever I got to do to get rid of all that garbage, give me the strength to get it out. And what does Manasseh do? He gets it out and he figures it out. This is the comeback kid. This is the original prodigal son. This is the original guy. And so as we close this morning, would you guys stand with me and we're going to take communion. Brian, would you come down? And who else can we get to do communion? Brian, who else wants to help Brian with communion? Brian, do you even want to do communion? I'm just kind of volunteering you. You're a good guy, and I can't see you saying no to communion. Okay, come on down here, please. Thank you so much. As we take communion this morning, you guys, I want to encourage you. This was a heavy word, wasn't it? I thought it was going to be much lighter until I saw you guys after I taught it. But it was rough, you guys. You know, but here's the good news about it. We have a patient, loving Jesus. He's so good, you guys. I don't like anything Manasseh did. But I have so much encouragement in this man because he turned his heart to the Lord and the Lord restored him, forgave him, and strengthened him. And you know what? I don't like any of the junk I do neither. And that's why we have a moment right now as we take communion to just square it up with the Lord and say, Lord, search my heart. See if there's any offense in me against you. Is there something you're asking me to get rid of out of my house? You know, because if people don't see it, it doesn't mean God doesn't know about it. And the Lord loves us so much, you guys. He's so patient. He waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. People say, oh man, that God of the Old Testament, man, he's a real brute. You know, he's really coming down and, you know, kicking rear ends and taking names. But that Jesus, oh man, he's a different one. You know, he's like a hippie and he just loves birds and flowers and all this. And he's so compassionate and cool. They're the same God. There's no difference between the two. And when we look at the Old Testament, people tell me how aggressive God was in the Old Testament. I'll just take him to Manasseh and I'll be like, what are you talking about? This guy was burning his kids for 55 years. And I would have been like, that's it, you're out. But the faithfulness of God, don't ever let anybody tell you the God of the Old Testament is some kind of mean God and it's different God. It's not. That's a patient, loving God. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your patience. We thank you so much for your patience. Lord, we rejoice. Right now, in my heart, I'm rejoicing for Manasseh. I'm rejoicing for him because he made it. And I can't, Lord, you know how many times where I've told you there's no way I'm going to make it. Discussion. I'm not going to make it. But when I see my brother Manasseh coming through that finish line, running hard, Lord, that just fills my heart with gratitude because your grace and your mercy is unending. And we thank you for that, Lord. So, Father, I just pray now as we take communion, we do it in a spirit of humility and a spirit of gratitude. And, Lord, just work in our hearts even now of the things in our life that, Lord, we need to turn back and just not only say, I'm sorry, but I'm getting rid of this. I'm getting rid of it. I'm tired. I'm done with it. Give me the strength to get done with it. And, Father, I just want to pray over our church right here today, whoever's here today. And there's a stronghold in your life. And you know it's separating you between your God. And maybe you felt like, you know, you've done it so many times. God's not going to forgive it. He doesn't want to hear about it. He doesn't want to deal with it. You're finished. That's a lie of the enemy. The Lord loves you and he's wanting you to come back. And so I want to pray for your strength, for your healing, for that fire to be stoked up into you again like it once was. Father, I pray over that person today that's got a stronghold in their life that as soon as your word was talking about getting rid of that idol, it came up. God, for that person, I pray in Jesus' name for a breakthrough, for strength, Lord, for healing, for restoration, to restore all those years the locusts have taken, because that's what you do. And we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, as we take communion and we worship you in this last song, God, that you be glorified and honored.